Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, this is poet, author, Mark Lacy. That's M-A-R-C-L-A-C-Y. And you are listening to ATAZP recorded live right here in the ATL. Don't forget to check me out at www.marklacy.com. That's www.marclacy.com. Read about the critically acclaimed The Looking Heart, Poetic Expressions from Within, and Reflux. And don't forget to keep it locked at ATAZP recorded live.
Yo. This is TAZ.
This is one of my friends that I met at Persistence Only about 2 years ago, and we got together, started collaborating, doing music. He does spoken word. He's got a book that's out, and I give you Mark.
That was Mark Lacy doing his thing. I'm going to have to straighten that out because that's off the live house party, one of the house parties, and I played that as a commercial during the house party. So Mark did it real clean in the studio. So I'm going to have to find that clip and replace it immediately. Okay, we're on number 4 of the Darkensville Deeds. And we're going to start on page 61. I'm just going to read straight. Last week I almost lost my voice, but we're going to read straight. This is part 4.
Mr. Alexander Davis, is that you, sir?
Juan Escapez called out. Yes, sir. Davis turned around, already knowing it was Escapez who was yelling at him.
Well, I be damned. Juan Escapez.
Yes, the one and only. Escapez smiled.
And you're head man Pepe Sanchez, correct?
Davis smiled, trying to play it off.
Sanchez just nodded with a smile in response.
So I thought you were dead in prison, Davis spoke.
Escapez laughed as he began to speak.
In name only. So why are you not happy to see your business partner?
Because your late brother tried to kill me, put me out of business. I'm sure you know he planned a car bomb at the entrance of Esperellas that killed 2 people and closed my restaurant down for a long while.
I took that personal, Davis replied strongly.
Escapez shook his head in disbelief. So you took that personal enough to kill my brother?
Kill your brother? Davis paused for a moment then.
I had nothing to do with your brother's death.
He did have enemies.
For instance, like Dawkins? Capiz replied back.
Yes, like him. But Dawkins is dead. Also because of your brother, Raymond. He caused a lot of shit to happen around here. And I'm sorry, I'm not thrilled to see you again. Excuse me. Davis walked off before he let his anger get the best of them both. Escapez was going to be in the shock of his life once Donald S. Dawkins comes back to life. Amuda Jones and Josephine Fields returned to their table after walking backstage with One Love performing.
You see, Josie, I told you that little bitch was rude, Amuda said while looking through the crowd of people and spotted Pepe Sanchez standing near someone she knew.
Oh, my God.
What, Amuda?
What is it?
Josephine asked.
Lana Duddins came over to the table in a hurried manner.
Amuda, you will never guess who I see.
Juan. Not Juan Escapez, Amuda answered.
Escapez?
Josephine yelled out, looking in the same direction Amuda and Lana was looking.
I'll be damned, it's him. How did he cheat death?
I had seen him earlier talking with Alexander Davis, and the conversation did not seem pleasant at all, Lana explained. Escapez looked and caught Amuda looking his way. He started towards the table. My God, he's coming over here, Amuda said nervously. We've got your back, Josephine told her. Selvis Q was on his phone with the man himself, Donald S. Darkins, when Escapez walked right past him through the crowd to Amuda's table. Yes, Dad, that bastard is here, and he looks like he's headed toward Mrs. Jones' table, Selvis informed him. Darkins sat up in his chair, taking off his glasses. You monitor the situation, and if it escalates, then stop it from going any further. Then what? Then what, Dad? What do you want me to do then? It's time for Amuda to know. Bring her to me. Are you sure? Q asked. Can you trust her? Just bring her to me. That's if she's upset. You make the call, son, Darkins told him calmly. All right, Dad. I'm on top of it. Q clicked his phone off and began to watch from a distance. Miss Amuda Jones, Escapez said happily. Juan Escapez, how in the hell are you alive? I need to speak with you alone, if you don't mind. Hello, Josephine. And you, I do not know, Escapez said while looking at Lana. Lana just smiled. I would like to speak with you alone, Amuda, Escapez demanded. He whispered something to Sanchez, and Sanchez left. It's all right, Lana, Josephine. I'll be fine. Amuda nodded her head okay. All right, girl. Josephine walked off along with Lana into the crowd, took a seat next to her at the table. How have you been, my dear? I'm good and in shock. You tell me, how are you still alive? You had to know the world still thinks you're dead. Do I look dead, Amuda? The reports of my death were very much false. But my feelings for you. Stop. Amuda raised her hand up in his face. My feelings died when you were supposed to have been dead all this time. You could have got in contact with me somehow. If you had feelings for me, you would have got in contact with me. I could not. You know I'm a wanted man, powerful in the drug world. I had to wait my time, Escapez explained. Well, you wait your time, he says. Well, my time went by, and I'm not thinking of you anymore. You were dead. Amuda got up to his face. What do you expect from me now? I want you to share what we've had before, Escapez stated. Amuda got up from the table. Have a good night, Juan, and good life. Escapez grabbed her arm. Hold on, Amuda. Amuda turned around to look at him while snatching back her arm. Escapez smiled to say to you when I saw you again, but I'm so full of emotion right now. Escapez looked into her eyes. It's hard for me to find the words. I am so angry right now, I don't have any words for you but goodbye. Amuda tried to leave, but Escapez grabbed her arm once again and did not release his grip. Let go of me, Amuda demanded loudly over the music. Unhand her, Q commanded, along with T. Little and Kenny Reeves surrounding the table. And who are you? Escapez asked, still holding her. Selvis Q. And you, I know as Juan Escapez. I really suggest you let go of her arm. I won't say it again. Q spoke directly to him in a calm voice. Escapez, without taking his eyes off of Q, released her arm. I'll see you, he told Amuda. T. Little and Kenny Reeves escorted her away from the table. Good night. Q smiled as he took a couple of steps backwards before turning around and walking away. Now, that's a recap from the last time when Amuda finally ran into Juan Escapez. Juan Escapez came to the party that they had for Club Indigo, for the Indigo opening. And that was that. That's how Amuda actually ran into Juan Escapez. And Juan Escapez wants her back. So Darkins told his son, Silvas Q, to take Amuda back to his hideout, which is where he's at. He's in his mansion that's underground, under his real mansion on top floor, but he's got an underground home built up under it directly. So that's where he's been at, hiding out, faking his own death. So we're going to pick up from where I left off last time. Alexander Davis was doing some paperwork on the top floor of the downtown Trix building when Wanda Glaze entered his office. "Good morning, AD," she greeted him. "Good morning, Sexy Chocolate. How's my Club Indigo star doing?" "She's tired, but I'm cool. Last night was hot. I'm glad you called and invited me to breakfast." She smiled as she took a seat at his desk. "I also invited Reddy Red, but she had a prior commitment." Davis looked into Wanda's eyes. Wanda threw her hand and was waving it. "This fan who has been sending her flowers really has been on her bra strap. He is supposed to be taking her to breakfast this morning." "Oh, really? I might need to check this guy out," Davis said while straightening up the papers on his desk. "By all means, check him out. I don't know, but he reminds me of someone I've seen before." So opening night was successful. One Love turned up. Davis remarked, "Yeah, like I said, last night was hot, and you were just as hot." Wanda got out of her seat to join him behind his desk, sitting on his lap. "You ready?" "I already ordered our food at Celebrity Inns," Davis told her. "Celebrity Inns?" "Yes, I figured I had some dessert with my breakfast." Davis moved to her face to kiss her lips while still looking into her eyes. At the Blackberry Dining Inn, Charmaine Robinson and Ray Perkins, who was going by the name of Johnny Owens, were having a very delightful breakfast. "So, Johnny O, what do you do?" Charmaine asked. Perkins smiled. "What do I do? You mean like a job?" "Yes," she said. Perkins just laughed as he wiped his mouth from eating some hash browns. "I'm a buyer and a seller for this clothing company in Chi-Town. I mainly do a lot of internet contracts and company buyers. "I see," Charmaine smiled back. "So what cities and countries have you been to?" Anchorage, Alaska was very beautiful, but very cold. Frankfurt, Germany, I love the sights. And the German food, woo, is spectacular. Ray smacked his lips. "You know," Charmaine licked her lips as she talked, "you looked a little sexy when you did that. So you trying to turn me on, huh, Miss Robinson?" he said. "Maybe," Charmaine laughed it off. "If you like, we can go somewhere and talk about things." "I would like that. I would love to spend some quality time with you." Charmaine licked her lips once again. Charmaine Robinson was a very hot girl, Ray thought to himself. This would be fun, but it would be all in the name of his brother, Jimmy Perkins, who would enjoy the time he would be with Charmaine, but only it was a time. And then when time came for her to be the payback for his brother, it would be all over. "So you were not killed in that explosion?" Amuda Jones asked Donald S. Darkins while sitting in the living room, ground home, with them both dressed in only bathrobes.
He was sitting very close to her so that her leg draped over his right leg. No, I was not, my dear. I had to do what I did so Raymond would believe that I died in that building that day. You were not here in New York local when Libby Ann Nestor died. At that time is when I changed my whole life around. Amuda looked at him seriously. You mean you do business differently now? Yes, I do. He rubbed her thigh. No drugs, no protection money, and no prostitution. I just buy from investors and trade stocks, which, by the way, I found I'm good at. Legal business dealings are more exciting to me now. Also, there's more money in it. Past will always come back, and then I will have to act accordingly, like this Escapade situation. I must deal with him, or there will be certain trouble ahead. But enough of that. You know I've missed you, and I've never stopped thinking or loving you. Amuda kissed him gently on the lips. Dee Dee, I don't know exactly how to feel. I know I love you, that is for sure. And we have a son. Yes, I know. Selvis Q told me about his little half-brother. They embraced and kiss several more times. I need you again, Amuda, he whispered in the middle of them kissing. Amuda smiled without saying a word, grabbed his hand, and led him to the underground master bedroom. I would have never thought, Amuda said in a low voice, I would be making love to Donald S. Darkins again and again. Hello, Mr. Wonder, Johnny Wonder. Sharon Glaze entered the Esperella's lobby. Johnny hugged her. Follow me, dear. Johnny guided her to the back where there was a closed section for private rooms only. Come in. Johnny opened the door. Sharon walked in to find a long table with a spread that almost represented a Thanksgiving dinner. This is all for you. And all for us? Sharon just looked at the table, bewildered and very surprised. Yes, it is, Sharon. Almost anything you want is here. Johnny spoke as he walked closer to the table with Sharon. So what are we celebrating, she asked. No, it's not that. Let's say we're starting anew. An exciting relationship. The time I spent in Dallas was horrible being away from you. I knew what I wanted then while I was away, and it was you. Then Clint called me, and I was very happy because I knew I would be seeing you again after coming here and doing that job for him. Oh, Johnny, I was feeling the same way. All I could do was think of you. Johnny smiled while looking her directly in the eyes. It's done, my dear. I have my main office here in New York local, and we can be together. Johnny, Sharon screamed as she hugged him. This is what I wanted to hear. They kissed long and hard, as if it was their first kiss. Alexander Davis was sleeping in the Celebrity Inn's bed he had got for himself and Wanda Glaze. Wanda was in the bathroom of the elaborate suite talking on her cell phone. Hey, Charmaine, what's going on? Charmaine answered on the other end of the line. Hey, girl, are you in school today? Wanda asked. Nah, I decided to take a free day today, Charmaine explained. Oh, really? Well, I did, too. I took a free day with Alexander Davis, Wanda smiled. You ho, Wanda, Charmaine yelled out while laughing. I spent my free day with Johnny O. Huh? Not who is the ho, you are the ho, Wanda spoke sarcastically. You barely know this Johnny O person.
Was he worth it? Mm-hmm. He was what I needed, Wanda. It's been a minute ever since Robert Dawson left town, Charmaine remarked. Wanda agreed. I know, girl. So could you kick it with Johnny O? We do have a lot in common, and today proved that. Where y'all at? Celebrity Estates, Charmaine informed her. Really? Because me and AD are here also, Wanda said in a low voice. No, girl. Charmaine tried to maintain her composure. I'm in room 526. We're a floor below you. But damn, Wanda laughed along with her. I'll holler back, girl, later, Charmaine said and smiled. She was in content for the first time in a long while. Okay, explanation. Yeah, they are in school. Believe it, they are in school, but they do their thing. They're like seniors, and they have free days all through the year because they got all kind of credits. And plus, they do the syndicated show, Club Indigo. So that's why they can get out of school like that, because they are all credit up, where all they got to do is just attend school, take the little minor classes, and graduate, and they out. Next scene. That's right, Pam, Amuda Jones said over her cell phone in Donald S. Darkin's underground home. Cancel all my appointments for today until tomorrow. Darkins kissed her on the neck as she spoke. Yes, honey, I will be in tomorrow for sure. Huh? Some guy talking with a Latin accent. Okay. Bye, Miss Jason. Off her phone. Latin, Darkins replied. Escapes? Yes, I assume it could have been him. Darkins moved her head with his finger on her chin. Darling, stay cool. I'm here now. You know, I will take care of you. I know, Dee Dee, but the world knows you as the dead crime boss. Escapes really thinks he can do anything in this town. Darkins stood up, walked around the bedroom looking for his robe. So, you got a gym down here? Because your body is turning me on. Amuda's eyes got big. Darkins laughed. I always want to turn you on. She stood up, revealing her naked body, and just walking over to him and kissed him on his cheek. In the next few weeks, there will be some underhanded stuff going on. Escapes will make sure of it. I can just take him out right now for the hell of it, but that will put me back in prison again. Again? Amuda asked. Yes, Amuda. When I was younger, in Louisville, Darkins did not go any further into it. After being dead on paper and then going in prison in real life, no, that would not be cool at all. But allowing Escapes to go on a rampage we all know he's capable of will allow for my return that much more easier and sooner. Perhaps you're right, Dee Dee. Your return has certainly made me happy. Amuda kissed him on the lips while she let his hands grab her anywhere he wanted to and desired. I'm so happy you could meet with us, Senor Watson. Juan Escapes greeted Steph Watson at the Blackberry Dining Inn. It's truly you. How in the hell did you cheat death? Tensely. Escapes sat at the table. I've always had good luck charm, Watson. More than I can say for you. Watson's eyes opened wider. What are you talking about? My brother Raymond. You're responsible for his death. I did not have anything to do with it. He supposedly died in Alaska
looking for that billion-dollar treasure, right? Watch and smile. Yes, he did go to Alaska, but your former boss had a vendetta against him, didn't he? Watson shook his head. And who didn't? Your brother did a lot of shit. A whole lot of shit. And made enemies. Plus, Darkus was dead before the Alaska treasure hunt. I do not do business like before. I live honest and clean like I always wanted to. I'm cleaning up Darkinsville, once known as Thug Alley. I've changed. Watson began to yell loudly. Yo, calm down, Mr. Watson. Curtis Robinson entered the eatery. What is the problem? I didn't know. Escapez looked at Curtis. Sir, you're the son of the lawyer, Senor Wayne Robinson, the DA? Good guess, cartel man. What do you want with my friend here? Curtis looked him in the face. He will know soon enough. Don't forget, Watson, I blame you and only you with that you will pay. Escapez left out the door. What was that all about? Curtis asked as he took a seat at the table with Watson. He blames me for his brother's death. I might have to get with him like in the old days. No, Watson, that's not the answer. But I have a feeling he will be back to try and get even, Curtis remarked. That evening, Wayne Robinson and Lana Duddins was having dinner at the above restaurant, at the above standard restaurant. Well, this is a nice change of pace, Lana remarked while looking around the decor of the restaurant. Yes, it is. So how was your day at the Baxter building? Wayne asked. Lana just waved her hand over. Oh, it was just a lot of paperwork. Not too much law at all. Wayne looked at her while smiling. You know, I think you're a very smart and intelligent defense lawyer. I've seen you in action before, and believe me, you are something to be reckoned with. Well, I thank you, Mr. Prosecuting Attorney. Coming from the DA, it means a lot, Lana said. But my views just recently changed, you know. Lana looked at him strangely. Oh? You know, your former boss made me skeptical of your ethics. Wayne took a drink of his water and lemon. You mean Donald S. Darkins? People like him, according to you, don't deserve counsel? What I'm saying is no lawyer in their right mind should represent someone with the history of corruption like Darkins, Wayne explained. I want you to know that before I took Mr. Darkins on as my sole client, I did not know of his past in great detail. You see, Mr. Robinson, I had just moved here after my son's father, Clint Byrne, after his father passed away. Mr. Darkins was very sweet to me and very professional. As time went on, I did learn of some things that he had done, but he was never in trouble with the law about it. Yes, the law was closely watching his every move, but in no way did he involve me in anything he was doing illegally. For the most part, the man encouraged me to always do things concerning him above board, above the law, all because of his reputation. Lana smiled while shaking her head in disagreement. So you're trying to tell me he hadn't changed when you became his lawyer? Wayne asked. Yes, in fact, he did. Remember the Escapez bombing last year? That whole thing was aimed at him, Lana explained. Wayne laughed. So trying to take him out made him change? The man has been a marked target practically all his life. So he found the law through the bombing?
I can't believe that. No, that's not it. Listen to the evidence before you quickly convict, Lana told him sharply. The love of his life was in that limo that blew up. The days after the accident, that man was devastated. His friend lived it out for a few days in critical condition. Darkins seemed to always be there at the hospital. It was like he never left. I would come to the hospital to do some business with him and also talk to him to see how he was holding up. I saw the pain he had inside of him. Yes, and I know that this man has compassion and he is capable of having love. This cold, ruthless man was in pain. He bears secrets with me about his life. Through that experience, it changed his life. He was on his way to becoming a model citizen. Wayne just looked at her and clapped his hands. So Darkins has a heart. Where was his heart when he was killing people at random? This man was a dangerous menace on our streets. I'm very happy that he is dead. Lana got up from the table. Excuse me. Thank you for taking my appetite away and also for making me feel like I'm an incompetent attorney who is out of their mind to represent a man like Donald S. Darkins. She quickly left out the restaurant crying. Now, I'm going to actually take a pause because a black man needs some water. I'm going to play a TAZ song, matter of fact. This is me and my cousin on the jazz CD. This is called The Loving, The Hugging. Cousin Christopher James. And this is called The Loving, The Hugging on ATAZP, recorded live. Thank you.
Christopher James and TAZ. Next scene. The next morning, Philip Hall, the vice president of Trix Corporation, entered the Blackberry Dining Inn, spotting Paul Rollins, the owner of Rollins Soda Corporation. Good morning, Paul.
Have a seat, Philip.
I almost thought you would not be here, Rollins smiled. When you said you wanted to discuss a business venture, I could not pass it up. Hall sat down, ordering only coffee. Not to beat a dead horse, this is about AJ Investments. Hall just looked at Rollins with a disgusted look on his face. Not this shit again, Paul. Look at this, my friend. Rollins gave Hall a printout with figures on it. What's this? Hall reached into his suit jacket to retrieve his reading glasses. This is an earnings statement for AJ Investments, past 6 years plus business investments. Hall smiled. She stands to make up to $20 million alone this year. Not to count the money she may take with the Saxon company. I own a corporation and we barely make $5 million worldwide. This Amuda Jones has two offices in Salt Lake City and one here in New York local. And she is making more than me. Rollins responded, visibly upset. On paper she is, so what are we going to do about it? Hall asked. The same plan as last time. Buy her out, Rollins informed him. He took off his glasses. Remember what happened last time. Rollins laughed out loud. I can't be worried about that. Darkins is dead now. Yeah, he's dead. But does that not mean he could have someone watching her back? Well, I would take my chances on that. I need to have that little money maker in my pocket. And before she makes all this money on these deals, we can buy it on the low low. Miss Jones will be no problem. Not this time. Rollins smiled with confidence. So the same people who guided me down that tunnel will take me back to your limo? Amuda Jones asked Donald S. Darkins. Yes, they will, dear. Darkins smiled while moving her black hair back off her face. You will ride in the golf cart directly to Selvis Q's limo. Your son from Libby Ann Nestor. Amuda shook her head. I have to get used to saying your son. This is a lot to take in, finding out you're alive and well. Then to know Escapez is alive, trying to take over this city. It is hard to find out suddenly. But my question is, are you happy, my love? At least with me being alive? Darkins asked. Amuda got close to him. How could I not be happy with you? You have gave me a reason for hope that we can be together along with our son. We can be a family. I love you, Amuda Jones. Darkins held her and kissed her passionately. The golf cart horn sounded, stopping them. That's the signal, my darling, Darkins told her. I will see you tomorrow, Dee Dee, but I'll call you on this burner phone you gave me almost every hour. I love you, Dee Dee, Amuda said while walking into the darkness to catch her ride on the golf cart. John Doakes was early that morning to open up the new Blue Light Club's doors. The fire that had destroyed the club a year ago was not evident with the newly remodeled look the club was possessing now. Before he had died, Donald S. Darkin's money
had helped him rebuild his club into a bigger and better Blue Light. Darkins had changed his ways and wanted to repay Doakes with a kind gesture, being that Darkins himself had the fire set in the first place. Doakes planned for a reopening, which was narrowing down to about a week. He needed to put his orders in for liquor and food first thing this morning before it would be too late. As he was unlocking the doors, a familiar face walked up on him from behind. Senor Doakes, John Doakes. So correct, my friend. You did not forget me. Can I help you, Mr. Darkins? Doakes asked nervously. Escapez walked into the entrance of the club looking around.
Very nice, Doakes. This will make me a lot of money.
Do you mean? Darkins asked.
We're partners, Doakes.
I will be getting the Blue Light's money from now on. Unless you're fireproof. Escapez laughed out loud. Doakes did not say a word. He dared not.
Now you're speechless, Doakes. I don't get a thank you or nothing.
Escapez smiled.
Ungrateful son of a bitch. Just have our money when I come back in 2 weeks.
After that, Escapez walked out the door. Doakes threw a glass cup against the wall, sending it splattering into many pieces. The same nightmares were starting all over again, he thought. Sharon Glaives, that morning, was busy setting the table for two when her doorbell rang.
Hello, Aunt Sharon.
Valerie Richards greeted her.
Valerie, Sharon yelled with excitement as she hugged her only niece.
Sharon? Hello. Doug Richards, Valerie's husband, spoke.
Hello, Douglas.
Sharon hugged him and Valerie at the same time. So what brings you both here from Chicago? Sharon asked.
We both decided it would be best to move back to New York local.
Doug's job promoted him to Northeast Area Manager. And so we decided to move back home, Valerie explained.
Well, that is great news. You two have a place to stay because Junior's room is always open.
No, Aunt Sharon, that will be all right. We are staying at the Celebrity States downtown, Doug answered.
Sharon smiled. Well, all right now. Y'all big balling. That's what these young folks say. Right?
All three of them were laughing when Johnny Wonder entered the living room by way of master bedroom.
Oh, Aunt Sharon, who is he?
Valerie asked as she noticed Johnny coming behind Sharon.
Oh, Sharon turned around and kissed Johnny.
This is my friend Johnny Wonder.
I remember you, sir. Doug walked over to him.
You were involved with the construction of our car company, main headquarters in Chi-Town.
Mr. Richards, correct?
Johnny and Doug shook hands.
I remember you and Mr. Victor Silverman were the one doing the presentation, Doug replied.
Now, this is a big baller right here, Aunt Sharon.
I can't be, sir. You guys bought the building.
Johnny responded back as he was walking to the front door with Sharon behind him.
I have to get to our James Byrne Memorial early to the office. Nice to meet you folks.
Johnny kissed Sharon lightly on the lips.
Oh, Aunt Sharon, you nasty girl.
Valerie remarked, looking at Sharon with a huge, big old smile on her face. Clint Byrne that morning was reflecting on past events the New York local cemetery. Dad, I miss you very, very much, Clint said at James Byrne gravesite. You know, I have continued to make tricks grow without the support of Philip Hall, our VP. He does a great job, but his jealousy of me is very obvious. Amuda is still the same Amuda, always too protective of me. Roscoe and Uncle Luke are celebrities now. Only talk to them on the phone. Mother and I have become closer, and I guess that's a good thing for me. My love life seems better without Wanda Glaze in it. Tammy Rollins is a fine and smart lady, but she is. Clint let his thoughts fade as he saw someone walk up on him from behind. I see you do the same thing also, Mr. Byrne. Selvis Q walked closer to him and read the headstone. Your pops? Q asked. Yes. And you're visiting your mom's? Correct. It's hard not seeing her amongst the living. Softly. Q spoke softly. I feel the same way. I feel the same exact way, Mr. Q. Clint agreed. On another subject, Mr. Escapez is being watched by my men, but we will do nothing. You mean Escapez will have to stir the pot in order for something to cook? Clint told him. Q smiled. Right you are, sir. There will be a lot of destruction going on until we decide to take him out. My father wants to have the leverage to use for his return. Smart. With his return under those circumstances, then he will be guaranteed a deal. I admire your father. You're very lucky to have him in your life. Clint looked at him seriously. And you, my friend, Q walked away, saying, are very lucky to have your moms still around. Lord knows I miss mine. So this is the right move we're making, Steph Watson asked Curtis Robinson while they waited in Wayne Robinson's law office. Yes, it is, Mr. Watson. We want the drugs out of Darkinsville. We know that Escapez may be behind it. We alone cannot take out his cartel. We do need help, Curtis Robinson informed him. Yes, I guess you're right, Watson agreed. So I hope this DEA cat can help us out. He needs to believe us when we tell him Escapez is alive and well, Curtis said, while looking at the glass door. I think this is the guy. Curtis opened the door. I'm looking for Curtis Robinson and Steph Watson. I'm Drug Enforcement Officer Ronald Wade. I'm Robinson, and this is Mr. Watson. Curtis opened the door wider. Come in. Wade walked in looking for his paperwork. This has to do with the drug activity in Darkinsville, correct? Yes, it does. Darkinsville is about 6 minutes from NY Local, Curtis told him. So why would you need federal law enforcement agents there? This would be merely a matter for the NY Local Police, Wade asked. We do believe that this drug activity involves the Escapez cartel, Watson replied. There was a silence in the office for a few seconds. You mean the Brazilian cartel? Wade asked, looking at Watson and Robinson. Watson shook his head. Exactly. You heard the reports of Escapez being here, seen here in NY Local. They are true. He is alive and well. We both seen and talked to Juan Escapez, Curtis added. Talk to him. Yes, I heard the reports, but
We suspected he was killed in prison. Wade sounded unsure. Well, he wasn't. He's looking for revenge for his brother's death in Alaska. And he thinks I had something to do with it. But as I told him, I was not involved in Ramon Escapez's death. Watson spoke strongly. We know there are drugs being circulated in Darkensville by very professional means. We need you and your people to look into this, or there will be more bloodshed and drug dealing. Wade again went silent as he was looking through his reports. Gentlemen, I will talk this over with my superiors and I will get back with you. Wade walked out his office door. He turned back around. Call me immediately if anything else develops. We will, Agent Wayne. Curtis closed the door after him. So we just wait for some shit to jump off. Watson yelled out disgustedly. Curtis looked at him seriously. Stay calm, Watson. We will have to be patient. Escapez will make another move soon, and we will be there to catch him. I can assure you of that. And I'm going to drop it off right there. Thanks for coming in and listening to the reading of the fourth segment of the Darkensville Deeds. Hopefully I may do another one next Saturday, but in any event, you will see it posted. I'm going to end this with another TAZ song. This is me and Ron L. from 2006, Going Down Tonight. No, I changed my mind. See, I could do that. This is my show. I changed my mind. It's going to be TAZ, Ron L., and Last Night, the last time. The last time with me, Ron L., and Ms. V. Till next time, peace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The last time. Yeah. I look in your eyes. I want you to be with me. And I know this can't happen. The love that I have for you. So tonight, let's make it right. Make love until the sun comes up, yeah. You will feel how happy it is for me to love you true, yeah.
Last time, sipped wine with a dime, so fine, lost mine, real mine, then I walked out on you. Last time, sipped wine with a dime. So fine, how can I explain? My feelings are true.
I feel what you're saying, but I don't understand. You treat me like no other, baby. I need you in my life. Without you with me, I don't think I can go on. I just hope you change your mind, 'cause I'll be here for you, yeah, yeah.
Last time, sip wine with a dime, so fine, lost my real mind. Then I walked out on you. Last time, sip wine with a dime, so fine, how can I explain?
play. My feelings are true. Last time, baby oil, rocked your world, had you screaming, my girl. You know you love me too. Last time, you're looking fine. Oh my Lord, I need you all. You're all in my mind. Last time, sip wine with a dime. So fine, lost my real mind when I walked out on you. Last time, sip wine with a dime. So fine, how can I explain? My feelings are true, baby. Whoa. Last time, wanna be with you. Wanna kiss you, hug you, make you feel that you're mine forever. Last time, I see you cry and tears fall from your eyes. Oh, I couldn't take it. Last time, so fine with a perfect dime. How can I lose my mind and walk out on you, baby? Last time, so fine, sipping wine. Whoa, how can I explain? These feelings are true.
Hey kids, it's DJ Kaufmana from Radio Freakout in New York City. You're listening to ATAZP Live, courtesy of my digital brother from a different mother, TAZ.